Welcome to the Point Blank Podcast, covering New York Islanders hockey. Here are your hosts, Brian Compton and Mike Carver.
All right, here we are, mid-July. B. Comp and Carver. Mike, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, pal. What's going on?
You were on fire with Scotty last night, brother. You hate David Ortiz. Geez.
Listen, nothing like celebrating a PED user at the All-Star game.
Wow.
So they had a fun night last night in San Diego.
I cannot wait until Ortiz is in pinstripes next year.
I can't wait till the big Hall of Fame celebration when everybody bows down to him. It's going to be great. He's going to be the first PED user to get into the Hall of Fame. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, man. Mike and I will be joined by Arthur Staple from Newsday in just a few minutes. Folks, we've now made it easier for you to listen to all of SNY.TV's original podcasts. If you're a fan of the Mets, Jets, Knicks, Rangers, Islanders, or college basketball and recruiting, just subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's the SNY.TV audio network, and please make sure to rate and review our channel. Michael, did you read Kyle Oposo's farewell on the Players Tribune earlier this week?
I did, buddy, and you know what? He did a nice job with it.
He did.
I guess that calms down all the people that were crying that he didn't send out the big goodbye to the Islander fans, you know, 3 minutes after he signed the deal in Buffalo. So it took him a little while, but I think that he did it the right way. I thought he said all the right stuff, talking about how he went to Bridgeport for the first time and just his experiences with the team. You know, it was a heartfelt, I thought, really good goodbye from Kyle Oposo to the Islander fans.
Mike, he didn't need to say anything.
That's what fans need to remember.
Why is he obligated to do what he did? And God bless Kyle for doing what he did. He also had the story in Newsday. Like, Kyle went out of his way to thank everybody. It took a few days. The guy's trying to rearrange pieces with his life, buying a home in Buffalo, getting his family situated, whenever that's going to take place. He didn't have to say a word.
He didn't, and he still took, you know, he eventually did take the time
to get
it done. And like you said, he was under no obligation to say thank you to anybody. The Islanders, you can make the case, didn't even want him. No contact over 12 months to bring him back to the team. So it was still, I thought, a nice gesture by Kyle. And I like the fact that it shuts up the people that were crying that 5 minutes after he signed in Buffalo, he wasn't tweeting out my thanks to Long Island. So those people can relax now. And good job by Kyle. Away he goes. We close the book on him.
Until he scores 50 goals next year.
Right. Well, listen, I think we talked about this last night. I don't think that's going to happen, buddy.
Nor do
you know,
I.
Listen, him being touted as, you know, like the top free agent signing on the market, I think is a little bit too much. But good for him with the goodbye, and best wishes to him up in the great city of Buffalo.
Absolutely. All the best to Kyle and his family. He was always great with me in the room, always candid, really good stuff. From the moment he stepped into the Islanders dressing room, what, 7 years ago, 8 years ago? It was a long time ago. So all the best to Kyle. Garth Snow was on SiriusXM with my buddy Scotty Lachlan last week, said a lot of good stuff. And the interesting thing that he brought up, at least as far as I'm concerned, Mike, is he put it on himself and really the organization for everything that went wrong with Ryan Strome last year, the 28-point season, shuffling him to the wing, moving all around. Obviously, Ryan was a healthy scratch, including a few games in the playoffs. Sounds to me like he's going to play center once the Islanders open training camp in September.
Yeah, and we've kind of talked that seems like somebody's got to do it, right?
Right.
Somebody's got to play center at this point. You haven't replaced Franz Nielsen, that's for sure. You know what? Good job by Garth there. Kind of, you know, not saying owning it, but, you know, Ryan did some things that we know were on him.
Sure.
You know, but it's good for Garth to say the organization also did some things that were kind of on them. So let's take the last 12 months. Let's say it was a combination of both parties. And I like that it seems like they're coming with a fresh look to this year at training camp of, all right, here we go. We're going to keep Ryan in this slot. We're going to make him center. And we're going to give him the best chance to succeed. And I think that that's going to be a really good thing going forward for him and for the organization. Because as we know, they need somebody to step up and take one of these young guys, Brian, to take to that next level, whether it be him or whether it be Brock Nelson, God forbid, or Barzal or somebody like that.
So down on Brock,
so,
brother.
So, you know, somebody's got to do it, Bri, and putting him in the best position to do that is good.
No, Mike, it kind of goes back to last summer when Garth didn't go out and get a top, you know, quote-unquote top-line wing to play with Johnny, because I'm guilty of this too. I thought Ryan was going to have a huge season, and that obviously didn't happen. And now this summer, you're looking for a guy to replace Franz outside the organization, and maybe Ryan Strome is the guy. I don't think he'll ever play the type of defense that Franzi did, but if Ryan can bounce back and get 50 to 60 points, it's going to be huge for the Islanders moving forward.
Yeah, and I think you're putting him in a little bit of a less pressure situation than playing alongside John Tavares, you kind of were pegging him to do last year. You're putting him in a spot where a position that's more natural for him from when he was a younger player. Listen, he's still a kid. And when he was an even younger player, you're putting him in an even more natural position for him to succeed. You know, possibly this on the second line. We'll see what happens there. And I think it's all good stuff. And anything that can get this guy going and get some of the young kids going, I'm all for it. And it was nice of Garth to come out and say a few things. It's so rare for Garth to step up to the microphone and let some people know what he's thinking. So good job by Garth there.
Hardly news here that Garth can't negotiate a new contract with John Tavares until next July, but he did tell Scotty Loughlin that that's going to be the case. I mean, it's not earth-shattering news, but
we know. You think that's the top priority?
Well, I mean, listen, until it happens, all we're going to hear about now that Stamkos has re-signed with Tampa, John's the next guy in line to sign with the Toronto Maple Leafs, right?
Yeah.
So until that happens, we're never going to hear anything otherwise, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I've actually been saying this for 2 years. I've been circling that summer of 2017 being the 1 year out point of the Islanders have to be in a position a year out from Johnny being a UFA that he has to know that this team is going to be good in the future because his next contract's probably going to be the biggest one of his career. You know, you could kind of put it that way. Obviously, he's made a lot of money on this deal that he's on now. But the deal he's going to sign, like the deal Stamkos just signed, the biggest deal that you're going to sign money-wise probably in your career. So this is a big deal for Johnny. He's got to know that it's going to be there. And you brought it up last week. These next 2 years are crucial.
Huge.
The team has to really show that winning is the priority. Listen, the winning's priority for everybody. They got to show that it's really happening. And the whispers will start next year, Brian. You know this. You know, the Islanders missed the playoffs by a couple points this season, and it's going to start next summer. You know, does Johnny want to stay here? It's going to start. It's already, you've already heard a little bit of the whispers.
You're going to hear it every day until it happens, Mike. Yeah. That's just the crux of it, because Toronto wants this guy to come home, and it's ultimately going to be about how well the Islanders perform over the next 2 years, and that's why I said last week what I said. I don't care about years 3 through 7 with Andrew Ladd. It's got to be about the next 2 years and being competitive for a Stanley Cup. That's the goal.
And that's what it's all about. Don't let people give you all that garbage noise about rink conditions and traveling to games and this stuff. That stuff is, I don't think, has anything to do with it. Johnny likes it here, I think. And it's going to be about how good the team is. And that's it. That's the bottom line to me.
Mike, I am so tired of hearing about the Brooklyn stuff. I can't take it anymore, man.
It's too much.
Any
too
show
much.
That these guys do, whether it was Franz, Kyle, or Maddie just talking about the commute from Long Island to Brooklyn,
and
so many teams in the NHL do, including the other team in New York. The Rangers do it all the time.
I haven't. How come nobody asks when people
sign
with
no
the Rangers?
I have no idea.
Hey, do you mind driving from the city up to Rye? Do you mind doing that? Honestly, I don't. I never hear anybody ask that on the Rangers. Why? Why? And this new facility that the Islanders are going to be in now in Eisenhower.
Oh, is it gorgeous?
It's first class.
Have you been there yet, dude?
I have not.
It is unbelievable. Yeah, it's unbelievably gorgeous. It really is.
I've driven by it quite a few times, but I've never gone inside.
George McPhee, it sounds like he's going to become the GM of the new team in Las Vegas. You know why I'm happy about this, Mike? It puts to bed that he was only brought in to replace Garth Snow.
Yeah, you know what? Listen. We knew that if Garth won a round, he was going to be safe, him and Jack.
Right.
McPhee was always standing there in the shadows for the last couple of years since he was fired in Washington. A little off the shoulders of Garth here to not have George around.
I don't think so.
Listen, you're right, but George is a guy, a lot of experience as a general manager in this league. And just to, you know, on the other side of it, I think it's a great hire for the new Las Vegas franchise.
You like it, huh?
I do. I think that he's going to do a nice job out there. Has he helped Garth out the last couple of years? I'm sure he has. I'm sure he's been useful to Garth. And now Garth feeling a little less pressure after winning a round. You know, not having George standing over him, that could be good too. But for the hockey sense, I think it's great for this Las Vegas team. And I know a lot of people were already up in arms. Well, he knows the Islander players now.
He can only take one, guys.
He can only take one. But still, it's interesting. You know, I was looking at it this morning, Brian, because with McPhee going there, I was like, man, you know, wonder who we could take on the Isles. And I know it's a year out, and we'll probably do 1,000 of these between now and next year with all the podcasts that we'll do. But who might get taken off the Isles? It's interesting. They're going to have they're going to lose a defenseman next year.
It's going to be a defenseman.
You know they are.
No doubt in my mind it'll be a defenseman.
I'm crunching the numbers here.
Yeah.
And you got to protect 7 forwards and 3 defensemen and 1 goalie.
Right.
You have to protect guys who have no movement clauses, which means even if you wanted to leave Johnny Boychuk out there with his big price tag, you can't because he's got the no movement.
Yep.
And he ain't waving it.
Nope.
So Johnny's got to be protected. You're going to protect Nick Leddy.
Yep.
And you're going to protect Travis Hamonic.
One would think. Mike, so it's going to be Ryan Pollock unless they trade him.
You're going to lose Pollock, or you could lose, it's going to be hard to do, but it's probably going to be Pollock because of his age. You know, you could say Thomas Hickey. He's going to be available also. But and who knows with salary cap issues, things like that. But I think you're going to lose Ryan Pollock next year. It's possible in this expansion draft.
Mike, I brought it up about a possible trade for the top 6 forward that everybody's still craving. Well, the Islanders brought in, 65 goals over free agency? So I don't know if they're going to get a top 6 forward between now and training camp. But if they do, don't be surprised if Pollock's part of the trade.
Yeah, and the other
so they don't lose him for nothing.
You're right. The other thing you could do is protect 8 skaters. But, you know, and then – if you keep 4 or 5 defensemen, then who are you losing on forward? You're going to lose, you know, Ryan Strome. You're going to lose Anders Lee. You're going to lose somebody. You know, it's a tough game to play, and you're going to lose a good player. Everybody is. It's just the way that it is now.
It's very tough. But Pollock, I mean, if he's in the mix here, you got to think he's going to put up some solid numbers. He's got to play on the top power play unit, Mike. He has to.
I think he's going to be there. I think he's obviously, as we know, we put this to bed, he's on the team opening night all the way through. Barring injuries or anything like that, he is going to be a main part of this team, and he's going to be on that top power play unit. They performed their best in the playoffs before he got injured, I thought, with how he was, you know, shooting at the net. He was making more movement on the power play. He was bringing things there. So I think that's his spot now, and he's kind of taken that, you know, that role there of being a power play quarterback.
Mike, we have Arthur Staple on the phone. Arthur, Brian, and Mike, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. Thanks for joining us. All right, let's get right down to it. Are the Islanders a better team now than they were 10 days ago?
You know, I don't think that's really contingent on who left and who stayed or who came in as far as the new guys go. I think, like it always is, it's contingent on the guys that had down years last year and need to pick it up again. The guys like Ryan Strome and Anders Lee and Brock Nelson, who were all kind of up and down for various reasons, and they need the consistency out of their core young guys. You could throw in guys like Ryan Pulock into that mix. They need a bounce-back year, it seems, at the end of the year from Johnny Boychuk. Goaltending needs to be as good as it was, no matter who's there. John Tavares had kind of a lull the first couple months of the season, so, you know, the talent in and talent out in terms of production, I would say, was about the same. That might upset some fans of the three guys who left, who were certainly good soldiers and very productive and big parts of what they did. But, you know, this team won one playoff series as a core in however many years they were together. So it's okay that they made some changes. It's just the guys that are still remaining from the core are the ones that need to pick the whole group up.
Arthur, thanks as always for jumping on with us. You know, the two guys that left, specifically Kyle and Matt, you know, did the organization think that they got the money that they thought they were going to get, or did the organization think they were going to get more? Because kind of in Kyle's case, there for a whole year, there was no contact really between his camp and the Islanders. Did they get paid what the Islanders thought they were going to get paid, or maybe a little less than the Islanders thought they were going to get paid?
You know, Mike, I think when it comes to Kyle, it wasn't really strictly about money. I think the initial ask, if the very brief conversation between Garth and Pat Prisson, Kyle's agent, last summer that kind of precipitated the end of their relationship, essentially, I don't think it was crazy out of line. I think the Islanders really saw the hard look of, is Kyle Okposo our top line right wing from now until the end of year 6 or 7 of this contract that he's looking for? And I don't think they knew they felt confident enough in the answer to commit to him long term. They've had some success with him and John playing together. They're certainly a good combination on the power play, but is he that guy? I think the question was that was the question rather that they needed to answer, and they clearly answered it by not wanting to reopen any sort of negotiations, or clearly thinking we have Kyle Opozo in a certain slot in our minds, and he feels he's worth more, and he's going to get more and more term. So that was where that relationship went. I think with Matt, from what I understand, there was a 3-year deal offered. There was a 4-year deal offered. I don't think the money was really close to what Matt got, but they certainly weren't afraid to commit to him long term, knowing what he does, what he brings to the table on the ice and in the community. For a lot of years, Islanders fans cried about, why doesn't this team spend enough? Why aren't we close to the cap? Well, now they're pretty close to the cap, and they have to count pennies, whether it's $250,000, $500,000, those things tend to add up over time, and you have to have enough production from guys to make it worth paying them that extra $500,000, and Matt got it from Toronto, and he'll be great there, and he's a role player who knows his role perfectly, and you can't have enough of those kind of guys, but the money has to be right, and it wasn't right for the Islanders.
Arthur, it sounds like the Isles made every attempt to bring Franz back. Did you get that sense as well, and do you think Garth was disappointed that he ultimately signed with Detroit?
I think there was some disappointment. I think there was a thought all the way along on both sides that there's a lot of history and a lot of loyalty between player and organization, and Franz, when he says that the Islanders are the only reason he's in the NHL right now, he means it, and I feel like the Islanders committed to him on a one-way deal, a very inexpensive one initially, but helped make him an NHL player and realize the kind of potential that he could unlock. I think he always saw himself as more of a strictly defensive guy, and he certainly put up decent offensive numbers the last few years, so there's a lot of mutual respect, and I think maybe both sides thought that would lead to more conversations or a more expedited response when there was a contract offer made early on in the off season. But, I think you have to believe Franz when he says once they got close to that conversation period and there were a lot of teams that were asking about him, this is not a guy who's dreamed of bigger and better things since coming to the Islanders over 10 years ago. So he wanted to see what was out there, and Detroit is Detroit, and, they have a lot of players that fit Franz's style and players that he looked up to. And I know he's not going to be able to do exactly what Pavel Datsyuk did, but they're going to look to see what he can bring in that vein. And I think once you find out what's out there, maybe that's the point of no return, and a little bit of fault on both sides for not being a little bit more urgent with it. But yeah, there was definitely some disappointment. I would imagine disappointment from Franz as well, even though he gets to go on and do something new. That maybe there wasn't a quick enough response from the Islanders, and disappointment from Garth Snow that Franz didn't take their offer, which was pretty comparable.
You know, Arthur, a lot of people bellyache that the team has always needed a little bit of a change up front with the forwards, and then the same people kind of bellyache that they let three guys who were with the organization for so long go out the door. Do you kind of see this as maybe an opportunity that Garth Snow had to kind of bring some different faces, some veteran guys into the forward mix, some guys who have won, some guys who have been in the league a long time, and finally get that chance to change a little bit of the dynamic up front?
I think certainly with Andrew Ladd, that was the goal. It was a guy that was certainly talked about at the trade deadline. I think, Winnipeg's ask of a first-round pick and a decent prospect, whether it was Michael Dalcol or even somebody higher up the Islanders' prospect food chain, was definitely a non-starter for them as far as a rental goes. But he and Doug Waite go back to their Stanley Cup win in Carolina when Andrew Ladd was just a teenager. So there's a relationship there, and I think there's a lot of respect there for a guy who's been a captain in Winnipeg for a lot of years and who's won twice. And, it just seems like he's a guy who's able to adapt to a lot of situations without feeling like, I need to do this, I need to be in this position. And like you said, yeah, just to get some different voices in the room, voices that have commanded some respect elsewhere, whether it's him or Jason Chimera, who's a guy who was incredibly well-regarded in all of his stops, Washington and Columbus and Edmonton. Talent-wise, like I said, I feel like it's a bit of a wash. Andrew Ladd's numbers are pretty underrated. He was a first-line guy. You know, he doesn't have blazing speed, and maybe he doesn't have 40-goal potential, but he played on the Winnipeg's top line with a couple of talented guys, and Brian Little and Blake Wheeler, so he knows how to keep up with the high-end guys. And yeah, just to hear some different voices and maybe give a different kind of support to John Tavares as the captain of the team.
Arthur, J.F. Berube has signed a one-way contract, which means the Islanders still have three goalies in the mix. Yarrow made it public about how disappointed he was with the three-goalie rotation last year. Are the Islanders serious about going into camp with three goalies again?
I can't imagine that they are, and it's a funny situation that they're in. I think Halak's injury that cost him the end of the year really hurt the idea that if they wanted to move him for anything that they could, and I'm sure they could have. You know, there's obviously there's teams like Dallas that may still be hunting around for some improvement in their goaltending. Calgary was obviously in the hunt when they got Brian Elliott. So there were teams that were looking, and you wonder if Halak could have fit that bill, but nobody's taking a chance on him until they see him play, and that might not even come in the World Cup. He could end up being a backup to Freddie Anderson or even to his buddy Thomas Greiss. So it's definitely not a situation that's going to be resolved anytime soon. They still like J.F. Berube. He's very unproven, but he's a guy they want to keep in their organization. Thomas Greiss obviously was, you'd have to say MVP for a long stretch of last season, helping keep the Islanders afloat when Halak was either injured or the team wasn't scoring the way that they used to. So, it may go up to the last few days before training camp. It may go into training camp that they have all three of these guys, and it's a hard puzzle to solve right now just because of Halak's injury, and I'm sure the hope from Garth Snow is that Halak is healthy, shows a little bit in Team Europe's training camp in the World Cup and gets a few games and shows what he can do, because at least that shows you he can still play and you decide to keep him and move somebody else, or you decide that someone else sees something in him and wants to at least take the salary off your hands so you can make some sort of move in another direction.
You know, Arthur, we haven't talked since the Taylor Hall trade to the Devils, of course, and you had it out there. Travis Hamonic could have been the price for Hall to come to the Islanders, and it's just they couldn't do it, Arthur. I mean, with everything that happened, that everything that went on this season with Travis, for him to then come back and say that he didn't want to move, Garth Snow would have looked terrible if he went and traded Travis Hamonic. There's more to it, Arthur Wright, than just stats on a piece of paper. Am I right or am I wrong here?
You're right. You're right, Mike. It's loyalty is important to Garth Snow, and that may sound a little funny seeing some of the longtime guys that have gone out the door and not been very happy about it in the last few years, starting with whether it was Matt Molson or Kyle Opozo, guys who have been good soldiers in this organization and either chose to go elsewhere or, were sent elsewhere. Maybe makes that phrase sound a little bit hollow, but I think with a guy like Travis who came to Garth and Jack Capuano and said, I need this for my family, can you try to make it happen? They kept it quiet for a long time. It was certainly when it leaked, it didn't come from Travis Hamonic's camp. So after all that, and certainly after the season he put up, and you think about the value of a right-handed defenseman who admittedly has not reached his potential offensively, but certainly eats a ton of minutes and plays in a lot of different situations and has played at a high level for a couple of years and still has that incredible cap hit for three more years. It just doesn't seem like the right move to make to sacrifice someone like that and hope that Ryan Pulock or Adam Pelech can step in and fill that void. You know, that hope was always the word with prospects or filling holes for this team for a lot of years, and there was certainly, when I came on the scene a few years ago, there was still the last vestiges of that, and there were so many complaints that I heard from fans about why do we fill these spots with young, untested guys or old, over-the-hill guys. Well, here's a guy in his prime who now wants to be here and loves being an Islander and felt incredibly stressed out by making this request and then by rescinding it. So why would you then get rid of him? For a guy who, is an incredible talent but hasn't really proven a whole lot other than the fact that he can score goals. You know, Edmonton is in the situation the Islanders were in before. Why sacrifice a solid citizen and a leader on your team for someone who's got the goals and assists but maybe doesn't have those other qualities that you want going forward for many years?
Arthur, last question before we let you go. Jonathan Ledecky and Scott Malkin are now the majority owners of the Islanders. Does the seat get a little bit warmer for guys like Arthur and Jack now?
Certainly in their statement, they voiced some support. They've been around for a couple of years in the background, getting to know Garth and getting to know Jack. I imagine that with the money that they spent to be in charge of this team and the money that they're spending going forward, you know, to probably make this team as successful as they can. Yeah, I think maybe there's a little bit of a change in the relationship. Obviously, Charles Wong and Garth were incredibly close, and Charles trusted Garth with the entire hockey operations, and I'm sure that's how it's going to start out. But anything can happen if things start to go off the rails a little bit. But I would imagine that for now, Garth has that vote of confidence, is going to stay a vote of confidence, and the decision with Jack really rests with Garth. And those guys are tight, and they feel like they've got it, they've got things going in the right direction, and that Jack has played a big role in that. So, yeah, I could certainly see it, but I think for now it's more about these new guys taking over. They're not going to put their stamp on it right away. I think the phrase you always hear about meddling owners is things don't really turn out so well when they start to try to throw things around in their first few weeks on the job. So I think we'll see status quo for quite a while, and we'll see how the season starts before we start talking about seats being hot.
There you have it. Arthur, thanks so much for a few minutes. We really appreciate it. Have a great summer, my friend.
Thanks a lot, guys. Anytime.
Special thanks to Arthur Staple from Newsday. You can follow him on Twitter @StapeNewsday. Mike, Ledecky and Malkin are in. Should be interesting to see what happens over the course of the season here.
Yeah, here we go. A new era of Islander ownership started on July 1st. So excited to see what goes on. These guys want to win. That's what we've heard. These guys want to do whatever it takes to make that happen. Not saying that Charles didn't, but we'll see what happens now with these guys coming in. You know, we don't get to see Charles' kid at the draft anymore, though, Brian, right? Is that still in the clause?
I have no idea.
He's still going to be there next year. I can feel it. So,
I have no idea. Very quiet offseason for the Rangers, Mike, other than Grabner and Gerby, right?
Yeah, not a lot going on Broadway. So it looks like the band will be back together next year at the Garden. And we know how that turned out at the end of last year. So.
Yeah, not good. But you can check out Rangers Blue Line with myself, Nick Lacalzi, and Adam Rotter. We're going to talk about the Rangers offseason, some arbitration hearings potentially coming up over the next couple of weeks. To find the show, search SNY.TV Rangers in iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts, and make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the channel. Islanders have signed Scott Mayfield, Mike. 2-year contract, one way, which to me means he's going to be their seventh defenseman. What do you think?
Yeah, it looks like he'll be the Brian straight up in the press box for the most part. You know, he'll be the guy that's going to slide in when somebody goes down. And injuries happen. We know it. Guys are going to miss games. So Mayfield's going to be a part of the mix, and he's got to be ready to go. We'll see what happens. You know, he's had his opportunities in the past, and with the one way, he'll be up here. So good for Scotty, and we'll see what he can bring to the table.
Mike, I like this just because, for me, it means Adam Pellick is going to play in Bridgeport, and that's not a slight on Adam. I think they actually might be higher on Adam than Scott, but
right.
Adam's got to play. And
he's
for me,
play
this means
night.
He can play top, you know, top pair minutes down in the A.
In fact, you can make the case, Bri, that Pellick will go down there, he'll play every night, and if an injury like I was just talking about happens where a guy is going to be out for an extended period of time, maybe Adam does come back, he plays, and Mayfield stays in the role as the seventh guy just spelling. So we'll see what happens in that. I'm sure Mayfield will get a crack to play a little extended time when a guy goes down, but that could be the plan all along for Pellick.
And before we go, Matt Cargner has announced his retirement. He will be an assistant coach in Bridgeport. So good for Matt. He's a good guy. Obviously, things didn't pan out the way that the Islanders had hoped, or obviously the way Matt had hoped here in New York, but staying within the organization here.
Yeah, showing the loyalty. Gets to go down to Bridgeport. So good for Matty. We'll see what happens with him in his future down the road. I'm sure he'll be here eventually. You know how this stuff goes, Bri. They always come back. So,
Mike, we're going to take some time off here. Not a whole lot going on, barring a massive trade that Islander fans are still praying for. You and I are going to go on hiatus here for a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to be tough not seeing you every week, pal.
I know, man.
I'll see you here and there, but not seeing you in the studio. So
we'll meet for a root beer. How's that sound?
Oh, absolutely. A man soda, not a root beer, a man soda. But, yeah, we'll definitely get things going. And who knows? You never know what could happen between now and the start of camp. We start a little earlier this year with the World Cup.
Yeah.
So there'll be some stuff to talk about there. So if we don't talk between now and then, everybody have a outstanding rest of the summer. Make sure you put the sunblock on. You'll look like me. So there you go. That's how it's going to be.
Michael, great talking to you. I hope Nikki's feeling well. Everything's moving along nicely, I hope.
Yeah, buddy. Everything's doing great.
Awesome. Little Carver growing by the day. Can't wait to
That's
meet
right.
him or her in December.
That's
It's going
right.
to be a lot of fun. Michael, be well, my friend.
All right, you too, pal.
Thanks, man. Thanks again to Arthur Staple. Everybody, enjoy your summer. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been the Islanders Point Blank Podcast, part of the SNY.TV audio network.